The book of Hosea, right after Daniel in the Old Testament there, right after Daniel, the book of Hosea, and be turning to chapter number 10 here in the book of Hosea. Hosea is to the northern kingdom what Jeremiah was to the southern kingdom. He was a weeping prophet, basically. He was crying over the sins of the people. Judgment was coming. God had announced judgment. Judgment was coming. But Hosea, Jeremiah, was just preaching that they would just turn from their sins, turn from their wickedness, repent, turn to the Lord Jehovah. He would forgive them. He would withhold judgment. He would withhold judgment. Hosea, he preached from 770 to 725 B.C., just before the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians in 722 B.C. But here in Hosea chapter number 10, we'll begin reading here a few verses here to get us going today. Here, Hosea chapter 10, look here starting in verse number 1. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided, now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars, for he shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? And look, and scroll down there to verse number 9. Verse number 9, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck, I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his quads. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. And I'll be preaching out of that verse there, here in verse number 12. And the title of this message is, Break Up Your Fallow Ground. Break up your fallow ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we are grateful here to be in your house, Lord, and grateful for your word, and grateful for the truth of your words, and grateful for the warning that you give us in your word. Lord, I pray now that you fill me with your spirit. I pray you use me here today. I pray you give me clarity of thought and give me direction to speak to the hearts of those here today. And that's what only you can do, Lord. I pray you speak to the hearts of those here today, Lord, and you have your will and way in all of us here today. Don't let us leave here the same way that we came in. Change us, draw us closer to you, Lord, and we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, God is a master at painting pictures with words. Our text here is a good illustration of that. God said there in verse 1 that Israel is an empty vine. Think about that for a minute, an empty vine. You walk up to a luscious grapevine expecting to find bunches of nice, juicy grapes hanging from those branches, but instead, all you find are leaves. Your first thought is, hey, somebody came along and they stole my grapes. But you look at it a little bit closer and you realize that that vine never has produced any fruit. Instead of building fruit, all it did was put forth its energy into building bigger branches and more leaves. And that is the image that God wants us to see here today. He said, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Now, in the New Testament, God gives us an example of that as well as far as the Christian life goes. We could read about that in John chapter 15. He talks about the vine and the fruit. And in John chapter 15, in verse 2, Jesus says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see, the Christian life in the Bible, and even in our text here, and in John chapter 15, is pictured as a branch on a vine. And as a branch, as a Christian, we are to bear fruit in our lives. And God examines the fruit. He examines the vine. And you know what? God's disappointed when He doesn't see any fruit. When He doesn't see any fruit there. And so what He does is He cuts those barren branches away. He prunes those that are not very productive in hopes that He'll make them more productive. Because God wants to see fruit in our lives. And knowing that He wants to see fruit in our lives, that should be our desire to bear as much fruit as we can. We should desire to bear fruit in our life, and we should desire to bear the very best fruit that we can. Now, I like strawberries, and if you ever go to the store and you buy strawberries, you never know what you're going to get. You buy strawberries one week, and you're like, these are the best strawberries. You go back the next week and you buy the same strawberries and they're nothing like it, right? But God tells us here as Christians, we should be bearing fruit. And if we're not bearing fruit, that should be a disappointment in our lives. If our life is empty of fruit, if our life is empty of the things that produce fruit in our life, that should be a disappointment to our life. And so God calls us here today. He calls us here and He says, break up your fallow ground. We need to break up the fallow ground. He says, prepare the soil of your heart. He says, seek the Lord. Turn from your wickedness and repent. And He will be merciful and send righteousness and blessings upon us. So the call here today is to break up your fallow ground. So first of all, I want you to see here the fallow ground. What is it? What is it? Let me give you definitions here. The fallow ground is land that has been plowed, but it's left unseeded during a season. Right? We can have a fallow farmland. They prepared the soil, but they never planted anything. It's characterized by inactivity. Nothing going on out there. Nothing good. And we can use this in the Bible as a hearer of the Word, but not a doer of the Word. But fallow also has to deal with a condition of being unseeded. It could also mean falling by the wayside. A waste, okay? But now fallow ground is ground that used to bear fruit, but it's been left alone. Hey, it's been left alone. The weeds have taken over. The soil has become hard, and it's no longer useful for growing anything. It's not just a rocky soil. It's not just a desert soil. But what it is it's neglected soil. It's neglected ground. It's good ground that has gone bad. And let me tell you, this is a picture of our heart. It's a picture of a hard heart. It's a picture of a neglected heart. It's a picture of a cold heart. It's a picture of a backslidden heart. Hey, is that any of us here today? Is that any of us here today? I'm telling you, even this week, many of us have neglected our prayer time. Many of us have neglected it, and we've grieved the Holy Spirit even this week. And many of us maybe have even let sin rule in our life. And we read our text here, and the command is to break up your fallow ground. Now, as I mentioned, Jeremiah was to the southern kingdom, and he had the same problem with people in his days as far as their sin goes. In Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground." He's saying the same thing as Hosea said to the northern kingdom. He's saying the same thing to the southern kingdom. The problem with Israel is their hard heart. They need to break up your fallow ground. All throughout Jeremiah's time, the people were going through the motions. They were just going through the religious motions. They were offering sacrifices because they knew that's what they were to do. Right? They were observing the feast days because they knew that's what they were to do. But their hearts were far from God. Their hearts were not in it. And they had allowed sin and they had allowed idolatry to creep in, and it had hardened their hearts from the one true God, Jehovah God. And so God compares here. He compares them to a field that was once fruitful. Hey, it was once bearing fruit, but now it's been neglected. It's been neglected and it's overrun with thorns and weeds. And so we get the picture. Just as a farmer has to plow his land, we need to plow our hearts. We need to break up the fallow ground of our heart, our hard heart. How do we do that? Well, we got to confess sin. It's time to confess our sin. If we are faithful, and if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We need to lose our pride. Hey, that's the thing there. We're talking to Americans. We are full of pride, right? But hey, we got to learn to humble ourselves, lose our pride. We got to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, and we read the story of Daniel. We know Daniel was a man, or David. David was a man after God's own heart. We know David committed sin. He committed adultery. He committed murder. You know, David sinned. But you know what's unique about David is he knew how to repent. He knew how to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at Psalm 51. Hey, David is getting right with the Lord. And in Psalm 51, verse 17, he says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart." David knew, hey, he could offer sacrifices, but that's not what God really wanted. He wanted a broken heart. He wanted a broken heart. He wanted us to break up your fallow ground. Let me ask you, are you on fallow ground today? Anybody here, are you fallow ground? Just going through the motions? You've let your heart go unplowed? Anybody like that here today? Hey, you don't have to leave that way. Don't let your heart remain hard. Don't let your walk with God grow cold. Fallow heart. Number two, I want you to see here the command. The command here is to break up your fallow ground. It doesn't say there in verse 12, it doesn't say the fallow ground, it says your fallow ground. You get that? Your fallow ground, that means it's personal. That means it's personal to you and me here today. It's me, it's I, it's personal. Hey, this isn't something your spouse can do for you. Husbands, your wife can't do this for you. Right? Vice versa. Your spouse can't do it for you. It's something that you must do with the Lord's help. And amen, I am glad we have an almighty God who's on the throne, who wants to, who's there, He's just willing and ready for us. He says in Psalm 46:1, He says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." He says He's a present help. He's always with us, no matter where we go, no matter what we go through. He is a present help right there. And so that makes me think, if He's a present help, ready to help, what's the problem? The problem isn't God's Word, right? We have a complete God's Word right here. It's complete, the King James Bible. Nothing needs to be added. Nothing needs to be taken away. We have a completed Word of God right here, and it's perfect. The problem isn't with the Word of God. The problem right here. The problem is our soil isn't ready. The soil isn't ready. The heart isn't ready to receive the Word of God. You have not prepared your heart. Hey, even today, hey, how many of us have prepared our hearts to come into the house of God and hear the Word of God preached? How many of us have spent time in prayer this week? How many of us have spent time confessing our sins, having a walk with the Lord? Or are we on the complete opposite spectrum and just full of the world? Remember, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, the heart is that thing the world says to follow, but the Bible says it's desperately wicked. We cannot bear fruit with a bad heart. We cannot bear fruit unless our heart is broken and cleared of all those weeds. I truly believe God wants to send revival in America. I truly believe God wants to send revival to Gilead Baptist Church. I truly believe God wants to send a revival in your life, in my life. But what's missing? What is missing? Before any of that can happen, what is our heart like? The heart must be broken. God can't plow on hard ground, can He? God can't plow on hard ground. He can't bless a hard heart. That's why He says here to break up your fallow ground. You know what that fallow ground is? Fallow ground is that part in your heart that you hold back from God. Hey, I'll come to church, but I'm not going soul winning. You know, that fallow ground is that area of your life that you've ignored. It's that area of your life that you've not surrendered to God. You say, "I'll come to church, but I'm not giving the mission." Hey, we need to ask ourselves, what area of my life has become fallow? What area? What area is there? Here, David, you know, he knew how to get right. And he said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and verse 24, he said, "Search me, O God." He didn't say, "Search my spouse." He didn't say, "Search my neighbor." He didn't say, "Search my servants." He said, "Search me." Right? Because it starts with me. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's some truth right there. We need to look in the mirror. What is my fallow ground? What does my ground look like? Because you see, today, and even in independent Baptist churches all around the world, we are content. We are content to look like good ground, aren't we? Men, we put our suits and ties on and we carry our King James Bible, and the women dress nice and pretty in their skirts below their knees and their modest dresses and modest dressing and everything. And we are content to look the part. But let me tell you, we refuse to let God break us. We keep those parts back, that fallow ground of our heart back, and we refuse to let God break us or even change us. You know, I've heard it said, "Well, you know, preacher, I'm just not going to get faithful in church because they might want me to do something. I'm not going to get faithful in church because you might want me to change something." But let me tell you, until your heart is changed, until that ground is broken, nothing can grow. Jesus said there in John 15, in verse number 5, He said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." You see, he said we're supposed to bring forth fruit. Our lives are supposed to bring forth fruit, but not only bring forth fruit, but to bring forth much fruit. Much fruit. Hey, we may look like a Christian. We may talk like a Christian. We may attend church just like a Christian. But so many Christians have no power today. Why is that? We have no soul winning power. We have no prayer power. We have no victory over sin. Why is that? I'm asking, why is that? Because we have become hard. Our hearts have become hard. Our hearts have become dry. And so God gives us the command here to break up your fallow ground. And He wants us to use it for His glory. You know why you're here? You know why you were created? Revelation 4:11 tells us why. "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." That's you and I. We were created to bring pleasure and glorify the Lord in heaven. That's the only reason why we're here. Hey, it's not to see how many followers I can get on TikTok and how many all these people I can get to like me on the internet. No, we're here to glorify God. Now, we need to get a picture here before I move on. We need to get a picture of what we're talking about here. All right? We need to get a picture of what we're talking about here. So we have a field, right? We're all familiar with a field, and that field has been prepared. God has brought the rain. The rain has come, and He brought the sunshine that would come and help those plants produce fruit. And everything has been done, but it was all in vain because there was no fruit growing. The weeds have taken over. The ground was fallow. It's been plowed. It's been ready, but it wasn't seeded. So there's no seed. There's no fruit. Now, I grew up in Indiana. I don't know if you've ever been to any Indiana. I know some of you have. But, you know, growing up in Indiana, there's corn everywhere. And the old saying is, there's more than corn in Indiana. Not really. Not really. But anyways, we have this picture of a field. God says all the elements necessary for growth were present. Now it's up to you. Everything's been done. Now it's up to you. Now that's what I'm talking about by it's personal. It's up to you and me. And the Bible teaches us that without exception, we are to produce fruit. And so I ask you, what kind of fruit are you producing? What are you doing for the Lord? What is your fallow ground? Let me give you some thoughts. What is your fallow ground? Hey, am I faithful to church? Well, you might say, well, I come Sunday morning. Well, what about Sunday school? What about Sunday afternoon? What about Wednesday night? What about Saturday soul winning? What about Monday fellowships? Well, people say, well, you know, I could, but I just don't get there. Fallow ground. Men, do you come for prayer meeting? Well, you know, I just can't seem to make it. Well, fallow ground. Remember, God says, what are you doing about your fallow ground? We're to break it up, right? We're to break it up. Hey, am I a faithful steward? Am I faithful in my stewardship? This is not a suggestion, it's a requirement. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, preacher, I just can't see giving as much as the Bible says. Fallow ground. You know, God prospers us. He gives it to us. The government takes his share, but God says we are to give freely and happily to do his work. Everything that we have, you understand, is from God. Everything that we have, he owns, and he's blessed us with it. But, hey, I'm just asking, what are we doing for the Lord? Many say, well, preacher, I'm just saving it for a rainy day. Well, you know, God might send a very rainy day your way. Fallow ground. Hey, what about this? Am I faithful in my Bible reading? Am I faithful in reading the Word of God? Hey, I just don't have time. Hey, that's fallow ground. Hey, what about this? Am I a faithful witness to the Lord? Do I pass out tracts? Do I go soul winning? Do I pray for the lost? Right, I'm sure we all have lost family members. Are we praying for the lost? Hey, fallow ground. Am I faithful in prayer? Do I seek a secret place in prayer? And do I go there every day? Do I go there often? Fallow ground. Hey, there's another one. Am I faithful to love the brethren? Ooh, now you got me going. Hey, you just don't understand. You don't know brother so-and-so. Hey, you don't know sister so-and-so. Hey, No. The Bible says we're to love the brethren, right? We're to love the brethren. That's fallow ground. Let me ask you this. Am I faithful in bearing fruit? Am I faithful in bearing fruit? John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Not a little fruit. Bear much fruit. And then he says, so shall you be my disciples. That's interesting. That's interesting there because he says, unless we bear fruit, we cannot be his disciples. Right? You see, salvation is free. Salvation doesn't cost us anything. Right? It costs God everything. But now you talk about being a disciple, that's going to cost us something. Right? That's going to cost us something. And he tells us it's going to be about bearing much fruit. But hey, God says, break up your fallow ground. Break it up. Now, everything I just mentioned along there, you know what that was? All of those things were basic Christianity. All of them. They're basic Christianity. So how many of those did we have a problem with? And then here's my thinking here. Proverbs 4:23 says, thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You see, it's because we have a bad heart. Right? If we fix our heart, we won't have an issue with any of those. Hey, if there's somebody here today that's never been born again, that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's because they have a heart issue. They have a heart issue. They've not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If it's in here, it's going to come out. But right here he says, break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. We got to move on here. My third point here today is there in verse 12. I want you to see that we are to sow in righteousness and we'll reap in mercy. There in verse 12 he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Now that word sow, it basically refers to planting seed, right? You're sowing seed, you're planting seed. But it also refers in the Scriptures to our actions, to our choices in life, and also to our words. Our actions in life, what we sow, what we plant, will produce a result. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, everything that we do has a consequence to it. In Proverbs 11:18, the Bible says, to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. All right? You can't just sow what feels good. Sin feels good, but we know sin is only good for a season and it ends in death. But we got to sow what is right And how do I know what's right? Because it's what's right by the Word of God. By the Word of God. Righteousness, when you sow righteousness according to the Word of God, it will produce fruit in your life. Do you understand that? It will produce fruit in your life that will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and it won't glorify your flesh. It will glorify the God. It will glorify God. There is no harvest without sowing, and you cannot reap if you've never planted, and you will reap what you sow. Okay? Now, we usually plant a garden, and I like planting a garden, but every year we always seem to plant tomatoes. And regardless, it never fails. Every time we plant tomato seeds, we get tomatoes. I've not once planted a tomato seed and gotten a watermelon. All right? This year I've planted my tomato plants amongst some strawberry plants. Okay? But you know what? My tomatoes didn't start producing strawberries. They still produce tomatoes. You reap what you sow. Hold your place here in Hosea, but flip over to Galatians in the New Testament there. The book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, and look here in two verses, in chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. We will reap what we sow. Our actions, our words, the things that we do in this life do have consequences. We will reap what we sow. Here in Galatians chapter 6, look in verse 7 and 8. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And let's listen here, because it goes more into detail here in verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hey, if we sow to the flesh, we are going to reap corruption. The flesh is weak and corrupt, and the flesh will die eventually. But you sow in the flesh, you will reap corruption. But if you sow in righteousness according to God, if you seek God, if you confess your sin, hey, if you're walking in obedience, you will reap in mercy. That's what we're talking about here. God will not repay us according to what we deserve. He gives mercy. But mercy is not something we earn. He gives it freely. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. You see, here's what mercy is. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. You understand? You here today, every single person, what we deserve is hell. We all deserve hell. But God gives mercy freely. In Psalm 103:10, He says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Amen. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise the Lord. Because what we earn is death. He goes on and He says His mercies in Lamentations 3:22 and 23, His mercies are new every morning. He says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Great is Thy faithfulness, because I don't know about you, but I need it. We all need it, because you know why? The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. What you and I earn because of our sin is death. It's just like going to a job. Everybody go to a job, you earn a wage. You work, you earn a wage. That's what they pay you. You earn a paycheck. Amen. Well, God says, the Bible says, because of our sin, we've earned a paycheck as well. And that paycheck is death. The wages of our sin is death. And this is me. I used to say this too. Oh, but preacher, I'm not that bad. Hey, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as that murderer on death row. I'm not as bad as that other person sitting across the pew from me. I'm not that bad. But listen, it doesn't matter. The Bible says we've all sinned. There's no difference. We've all sinned. The drunk, the prostitute, the church member, we all deserve His judgment. But His mercy is not getting what we deserve. There is nothing that you and I can do to please God in the flesh. I used to think, you know, I would die and one day, and then I would stand before God, and He put all my good works on this side, and there'd be just a few bad works on this side, but the scale would always tip in favor of my way, and I'd get to go to heaven. But that's not the case. You know, I thought I was a good person. I thought I was a good person until I was 38 years old. But I think in my mind, right? Hey, I knew about God, and I had heard about Jesus dying on the cross, but
You know, I thought I was just good enough to get there. But the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says, well, Jesus says this in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is it. You see, God loves you. He loves everybody. He loved the whole world that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was mocked. He was scourged. He did all this, shed His blood, and they nailed Him on the cross, and He died on that cross in my place, in your place. He died for our sins, and they buried Him, and 3 days later He rose from the grave victoriously, conquered sin, conquered death, conquered the devil, everything. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. You get that? Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing that you and I could do. Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary. I was talking with a young man yesterday, and I asked him if he knows for sure he's going to heaven. He says, oh, yes, I know. And I asked him how he knew. And he gave me some off-the-wall crazy answers. Not any type of a biblical answer at all. And I said, hey, you can know because Jesus loved you. He died for you on that cross. And if you come to Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you got to receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. And I took them through a bunch of verses like that verse in John 1:12 and John 3:16 and 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Over and over in the Bible, it doesn't talk about being good or working and doing good. It talks about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not doing the best you can, not keeping the Ten Commandments, not feeding the world, but believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says this, and this is what it looks like. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you know what? A glorious verse 13 that follows that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, hey, it's not just for the Jews. It's not just for the whites. It's not just for the blacks and the reds or the oranges. It's for all people. He died for all people. And you come to Jesus Christ today, you get born again, you trust Him for your Savior. You know what happens? You reap in mercy. You reap in mercy. But here, you know what you're reaping? You're reaping a couple things. And let me give them to you. You're reaping the pardon of sin. You know, at 38 years old, I had lived a life of sin. But when I came to the Lord Jesus and I got saved, I got forgiveness of all my sins. My past sins, my present sins, my future sins. They were all covered. They were all under the blood. I got forgiveness of my sin. In Psalm 86:5, he says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You got to call upon Him. He'll give you forgiveness. Jesus said, I paid it all on the cross. I paid it all. That's mercy. But you know what else? You get peace. Peace down in my soul. Peace down in my... Hey, the world doesn't know anything about peace. Peace only comes through Jesus Christ. In Psalm 85:10, the Bible says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Hey, you may have come here today and you have no peace. You may have come in here and you're living in guilt and you're living in shame and you're living in regret, but you can walk out of here with peace. You can walk out of here with forgiveness of sin. And you know what else you can walk out of here with? You can walk out of here with the power for living in this world. The power for living in this world. Hey, listen, I don't have to fear death. Because the Bible says when I close my eyes here, I open them in front of Jesus Christ in heaven. I don't have to fear COVID and put on a mask. Hey, I don't have to fear a bad call from the doctor. I don't have to fear cancer or anything else this world can throw at me. Why? Because I have the power for living in this present world. Remember, this world isn't our home. We are just passing through. In Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who has a time of need? Have you ever had a time in need? He freely says for us to come boldly onto the throne of grace. And He's there. Whatever the need is, God will give us power. But let me just say this. When you reap in mercy, you're not walking in your own ability. Right? That's why Paul says, I die daily. I die to myself. I'm crucified with Christ. Right? I'm not walking in my own strength, but I'm walking in God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Let me give you the last point here out of verse 12 there. I want you to see it's time to seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord till He comes. Now, we're living in a day when we like to seek everything in life, but we don't seek the Lord, right? We seek pleasures, vacations, monies, and jobs, and we get consumed with daily life, right? We get consumed with the busyness of life, right? I talk with somebody, and they say, well, you know, I'm just so busy. I'm busy. And I say, well, what are you so busy doing? He's like, well, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm running here and I'm running there and I got this issue and that issue. And I say, well, what about seeking the Lord? Where is seeking the Lord on your list? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Where to seek Him? The Bible says in Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. If you remember in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve had sinned, they went and hid from God. They went and hid from God because they had sinned. And God comes looking for them and they said, where art thou, right? Where art thou? They were hiding from God. We are still hiding from God today, aren't we? Because we are still in sin. We're not seeking Him like we should do. We are living in sin. We are living in distraction. In James 4:8, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Mark 4:19 says, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. Remember, we're talking about bearing fruit here. We're talking about the Christian life and how we are to bear fruit. That's what we're talking about. Let me give you three quick things on how we should seek the Lord. How should we seek the Lord? Number one, we should seek Him with a humble heart. A humble heart. When we seek Him with a humble heart, we'll lose the pride. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We need to have a humble heart, but we also need to have a whole heart. A whole heart, not hiding anything back. Giving Him our whole heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you shall seek Me and find Me when you shall search for Me with all your heart. And the last one, not only a humble heart and a whole heart, but we need to seek Him constantly. Constantly. Every moment, every day, constantly seeking Him. Psalm 27:8 says, when thou sayest, seek My face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I will seek. We need to seek Him all the time. Not just Sunday morning. Sunday night as well. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Every single day of every single hour. Why? Because when God sends rain, He doesn't just send drizzle. He pours. Are the fields ready? Are the fields ready? Is your heart ready? Have you plowed the hardness of that heart? Have you tilled the heart? Have you broke up that fallow ground? I think of the book of Jonah, and I'll end with this here. I think of the book of Jonah, and I think of the wicked city of Nineveh. You might know about that. You know, but God was ready to send judgment. He was ready to wipe the people out there for their wickedness. And God sent a man by the name of Jonah, and he came into town, and he came not with fancy words or not with fancy stories, but he came preaching a bold message. He said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was it. He preached that message, and lo and behold, to his shock and amaze, the whole Nineveh repented. They got right. The Bible says that they put on sackcloth, they fasted, and they repented, and they cried out to God, and they turned from their evil ways. In Jonah 3:10, the Bible says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Nineveh is the most wicked city of that time, but they saw revival. And it's not because they deserved it, but it's because they sought God while he could be found. So let me ask you this as I close. What if we sought God in that same way? What if we sought the Lord and we humbled ourselves before God just like Nineveh did? What if we repented of our sin and we turned from that sin and we got right with the Lord here today? Hey, what if we got right with our Bible today? What if we got right with our prayer life today? Listen, God is still rich in mercy. His mercies are new every morning, but listen, we must seek Him now, not tomorrow. If God could turn Nineveh, He can revive you and I here today. He could turn our lives around, but hey, listen, only if you do that is when you break up your fallow ground. Hey, maybe you're here today and you've been born again. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you come forward and tell me that, we'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Do you say, you're here today, you say, I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, let me ask you, what is your fallow ground? What is your fallow ground? Because the Bible says it's time to break up your fallow ground. Let's pray.